Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Where is he when we gather together in his name? It says that he's here. So is he here this morning?
Yes.
You know what? I love the fact that Elder Lee did not know what I was going to be preaching on. And the Holy Spirit knows. So he told them what to do. And you notice at the end of our worship time, we just hung out in his presence. All year we've been running. And it just seemed fitting today that we would spend extra time in his presence. That's what I want to speak about this morning, being in his presence. How many of you would be interested in having a private meeting with former President Barack Obama? Come on, raise them high. Are you thinking about maybe what you would say to him? Okay, just so y'all think I'm not politically equal. How many of you would like to have a private meeting with President Donald Trump? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. You notice I raised my hand both times. I want to talk to both of them guys. But how about if I said that Jesus Christ is going to be here next Sunday at 10 a.m. and I could arrange a personal meeting, a private meeting with him for you? How many would be interested in doing that? Praise God. We just did that. We can do it every day because we can get in his presence anytime, any place we want. You know what? I can't get to President Trump, and Lord knows I could never get to Barack Obama, but I can get to Jesus. Just so you know, some of you may have forgotten, Jesus is the one whose birthday we celebrated just a few days ago. Maybe you forgot. You got busy giving gifts and going to parties and doing whatever things you might do. You were celebrating something, but it was Jesus' birthday. And the reason why I celebrate his birthday is because he came to earth to meet with me. And I'm no different than anybody else on the whole planet. The same king of the universe laid down his kingly position. So let's review what his kingly position was. The Bible says that in Genesis, it says, let us. You know who the us was? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That was the us. So Jesus was back there, and he created the heavens and the earth. The earth was his footstool. Better not do that too much there. But the earth was his footstool. He created everything. The stars and the moon, the sun, all the planets, stuff that they're still finding out. God created all that. Some of y'all forgot. I know you did. Because you think God is up there somewhere and he's not right here. But then God kept on working at it. Then he created the earth. Then he created all these animals. And then he said, you know what? I need to make a man to be in charge of all this stuff. So he made it. He made Adam. And then Adam got lonely. So he said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. Glory to God. So he gave us woman. Whoa, man. And now we have man and woman, and then man and woman created kids, so then they had children, and here we are so many years later. So if you go to school, young people, and they tell you that we evolved from a toad or some other life form of nothing, we didn't come from nothing. We were created by God in his image to give him praise and glory. Y'all ain't clapping loud enough for me. Yes, come on. So, that same God, a few days ago we celebrated God's birth, Jesus. He gave up his authority as the king. Later on, if you read in the New Testament, it says that Jesus was on the cross paying the price for our sin, but he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him, but he didn't do it because he knew that God could not look at us the way we were. So he sacrificed his life, the perfect lamb, the perfect lamb. He gave up his life for us so we would be able to have a relationship with God. And because of that, that's why I'm celebrating Christmas and Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Because when he died, he rose again. He's not laying in the tomb. Everybody else's God is dead. Muhammad, Buddha, and all the other ones, they're dead. They didn't do nothing for me. You know what? They didn't even give up their life for me. But Jesus did. Now, for somebody who did all that stuff, and then he said, I'm going to back to the Father, and I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And when you accept me as your personal Savior, he's going to be in you. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. So, I didn't even get to my introduction yet. I'm just kidding. I actually did my introduction. But I want to remind us of who Jesus is so that if he's really important to you, you want to spend time with him. Right? I mean, you all said you would give one of your arms to go spend time with President Barack Obama or President Trump. And those are just men. They didn't do nothing for me. In a manner of speaking. They didn't give me eternal life. They didn't change my worldview. They didn't heal me when I was sick. They didn't save me when I was broke. They didn't pour life into me and give me a purpose. Jesus did all of that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Did he do that for you? Well, if he did that stuff, why wouldn't we want to be in his presence? We sang that song, In His Presence. What's the first line of that? Somebody help me. Found in your hands, fullness of joy, every tear suddenly wiped away. That sounds like a God who I want to get to know. Somebody who's wiping my tears away. Anybody ever cried any tears of pain? Anybody ever cried any tears of joy? Man, you know God loves us. He really does. I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional. But if I can't get emotional about Jesus, there's nobody else to get emotional about. Yeah. As we go into this new year, I want to help us to focus our thoughts and our attention on the idea of having an audience with the Son of God. Amen. We spent the last 30 minutes or so getting in the presence of God. Did anybody feel his presence today? I know I did. You know, sometimes when I'm playing the piano, not that y'all care or know, but I turn around and I look at you sometime. But most of the time, I don't look at you at all. And the reason why is because I came to worship Jesus, and y'all ain't Jesus, so I'm not looking at you. Simple as that. And then sometimes, because I'm facing this way, I get to watch whoever's leading so I know what next to play or do. But essentially, I'm here to worship God. I'm not coming to look at nobody or shake your hand, although I might look at you and shake your hand and say, hey, how you doing, and pray for you and do all those other things. But my purpose is to be in his presence. That's why David said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Together we come to the house of the Lord to meet with Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That statement tells me something. When we praise him, he hangs out. He comes around. You ever talk to somebody, and when they see you, they go, hey, Paul, how you, oh, man, you know, and they start complimenting you and stuff. Do you want to run away from that person? Man, you really look nice today, Jim. I like your glasses, or I like that shirt you're wearing, or, you know, man, you always have a smile on your face. Anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, Jesus, God, inhabits the praises of his people. And when you compliment God, that's what some of worship is. Telling God how much you love him, what he's done for you. Amen? That's what worship is. You're putting worth on who God is. And I remember when I was a kid, like some of you kids even younger, I would hear people get up and they'd start crying about how God saved them, or how he delivered them from a bad life, or how he healed them from, you know, some life-threatening disease, or just lots of things. And I couldn't connect with them. You know why? Because I hadn't been through nothing yet. I'm serious. I asked God to come into my life when I was 10. You know what I went through? I got beat up by one of my friends. A guy threw a stick at me and knocked my tooth out. I was called Pudgy by some of the kids in school. I'm not saying that wasn't important. I'm just saying God didn't bring me through that. I came through it. But when I realized that I needed Jesus at 10 years old, and some of you might have realized it at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever. But when you realize you need Jesus and you accept him in your life, now you have something to be thankful for. Amen? Now you know why you should worship him. And so sometimes we forget we've been doing good for so long. I know I've been doing good for 60-some years. I've been blessed, man. I have been blessed. I've been all around the world. I've done a lot of things I never dreamed I would do. And all because of God's love for me and his call on my life, which he has a call on your life, just like he has one on mine. Some of you think you have to be preaching to have a call on your life. No, you don't. The Bible says that God created all of us in his image to do something. Whatever that something is, that's the call. All you have to do is say yes to him, and then he'll figure it out with you and help you find out where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And when you do that, things happen. You get resistance from the enemy, maybe from your friends. You know, the enemy is the devil. It's not your friends, even though they act like it. But the enemy is there to stop you from doing what God called you to do. So I'm just saying that when we worship God and we put him first and we thank him for who he is and what he's done in our life, things change. I found this out about 30-some years ago. I was having a prayer meeting by myself. And as I was praying, the Lord said to me, I was having my devotions is what it was, and I just awakened. I opened up my Bible. I read a scripture or two, or three or four. I don't remember what it was. And then I prayed. And after about 15 or 20 minutes of that, I got up. And in my little room, I had a desk over in the corner. And as I walked over to the desk, the Holy Spirit said, I just healed you from something that happened to you when you were 3 years old. And I was like, what'd you heal me from? And then I thought about it. If I'm healed, it don't matter. Forget about it. But it's because I was in his presence that he told me that. If I would have never spent the time with him, he probably wouldn't have told me that. And I had been thinking about things. How many of you remember when you were three? Can you? Some of us older people, we do that. When you're young, you're not thinking about that young. But since I have brothers and sisters older and younger than me, I've been able to systematically and scientifically prove certain things and memories that I have, because I could say, well, when did this happen? They'll say, it was in 19 so-and-so. And I go, okay, when did? I remember we went to so-and-so's house. Yeah, well, that had to happen because we didn't know him before 19 whatever. And so I could put these facts together and figure out that I could remember stuff from 2.5 years old. And so when the Lord said, I healed you from something that happened to you at 3, I was so excited. Man, I got healed. I didn't know I was broke. But I was. I'm sure I was. I don't know what he healed me from. I don't really care because I'm healed. Amen. 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 You know what? I had asthma and I'm healed, so I don't really care anymore. I don't worry about it because I'm healed. And I can remember that, but it happened by being in his presence. And all I'm trying to do is whet your appetite for the presence of God. Whet your appetite for the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 3:16. It's a few things that this scripture says. I want to point out a couple of them. Let me read it to you. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Keep that phrase in your mind. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to try to break that down for you. Essentially, for my purposes today, what that scripture is saying is, first of all, when you turn to the Lord, your eyes are open. When you turn to the Lord, you see yourself differently than you saw yourself before. Because now you're a king's kid. Some of you are still getting the veil taken away. And you live like you're the devil's kid. But you're actually a king's kid. And you don't have to live under the shadow of death anymore. You don't have to live according to the way you used to live. Because God sets you free. The veil is taken away. Then it says in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom, liberty. Is the Holy Spirit in here today? Yes. So we have freedom in this house today. Freedom to lift our hands, freedom to worship God. I love the fact that Elder Lee took some time to just sit in his presence and wait. And let the Holy Spirit, well, some of us would call that marinating. You know, just let the Holy Spirit wash over you. Has that happened to you? There's a lot of times we come in here and we'll be praying over in that area back there, foyer or whatever that is in there before service. And the Holy Spirit will come powerfully and speak things to me and speak things to other people. And I know because they've told me. You know, when you were praying or when someone was praying in the prayer time, man, the Lord spoke something to me. Why? Because we're in his presence. And when you're in his presence, stuff's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen. The Holy Spirit wants to change you. And that the end of that scripture there says from glory to glory. It's from one thing to another. That's why if you keep coming back into God's presence on a regular basis, he will change you. Because you can't come in and go out and come in and go out and stay the same. If you do, you ain't getting in his presence. Because I've seen it over and over and over again. When the Holy Spirit comes, when people recognize Jesus, there's been millions of testimonies, not only in scripture. You remember the Apostle Paul, I'll give you one. He was riding a horse on his way to kill some more Christians. And he was a religious man. He knew all the law. He studied under Gamaliel, which is a great rabbi. He knew all kind of stuff about God, but he didn't know God. And when he was on that horse and he got struck, guess what he said? Lord, what do you want? He didn't say, who is that? What happened to me? He already knew. And when you get in the presence of God, there's no questions. You already know. God wants to do something for you. So I'm just trying to help us to, at the end of this year, establish some good things for next year, which starts today. The Bible says, happy are you if you do these things, meaning the things that God's put in front of you to do. If you start getting in his presence now, something's going to change your whole next year. 2020 is going to be different for you. How many want something different? How many of you tired of the same old, same old? If you are, this is one of the main ways you can get something different. Get in his presence. Because God loved me first, I love him back. We sing the song sometimes, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love, because he loved me first. He first loved me. That's the deal. God loved us when we were unlovely. God loved us when we weren't even thinking about him. That same God knew in advance that you were going to need him. So he sent Jesus to come so we could have eternal life. The only way you get it, I know most of you know this, but you got to accept his free gift of life. His sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, you got to accept it. It's just like, Cliff, if I had a $100 bill and I was going to give it to you and I said, hey, I got this money for you, it ain't going to be yours until you come and receive it. Exactly. He's coming to get it. I don't have $100, man. I only got one. But the point to it is that we receive what God has given for us, his love. And he loved us, and so we love him back. When we experience his love, we change. When we get in his presence, we're changed from one glory to another. That's why it's important to be at church on time. Uh-oh. That's why it's important to be at church. I'm reading it. Somebody wrote this. I'm just reading it. That's why it's important to be at church on time to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and to learn how to respond to the love of God. So I know I've seen the people, they come in at about 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. Church starts at 10. Maybe not every Sunday, but some Sundays they come in and they hear the preaching and they go out. And they don't really change. They don't really get impacted. Part of the reason why is because they haven't really been in his presence long enough for the Holy Spirit to soften your heart and move on you and talk to you and massage you and bless you and change you so that when the word comes, you're ready to receive the things that God's speaking to you. You know, many times when pastor or whomever is preaching, we will pray. I will pray, God, let people hear what they need to hear. And I'll have people come up to me and say, man, you know, when you were preaching, you was talking about so-and-so. And I go, I didn't say nothing about that. And they'll go, yeah, I won't tell them that, but they'll say that, you know, you said something about so-and-so. And you know, when you said so-and-so and so-and-so, and I'll even go back and listen to it, and I never said anything about that. But the Holy Spirit was talking to them, and they heard him. That's all I care about. Amen? Amen. So it's not what I say, it's what you hear. So let me just tell you one other thing. Our country is polarized around race. If you couldn't tell, I'm African American, black, Negro, colored, all of those words that they use for, that's what I am. And then there's some white people in here, some light-skinned people, some bright people, that's another word. And y'all could be white, you could be Spanish or Hispanic or Italian or whatever, whatever. But we all come to the same church. And you know what I found out? I'm going to just tell you right like it is. I used to hate white people. Seriously. Now, y'all don't know this, but back in the day when Malcolm X was preaching, pull a gun out and kill the pig and all that stuff. I was 15, 16, 17, and I believed some of it because I got kicked in my butt by a white guy who called me a, what's an N-word? You mean nigger? Yeah, that's what it was. I can say that word. Maybe some of you won't, but I can. So, yeah, that's what happened. And there's lots of other reasons, which I won't go into, but I hated white people. And so God in his providence, his wisdom, and his great love for me told my dad to take a church. We were living in New York. I want you to go pastor a church in Seattle, Washington. All the way across it was covered wagon bonanza territory to me. And we moved to Seattle. And our church was now a church that used to be in a white neighborhood, but all the white people started leaving. And so the white people that were still at the church and their pastor, my father was on an evangelistic preaching thing. In fact, he would take his vacation and go preach. So there you go. So he was preaching, and when he spoke at that church, the pastor said, I think you ought to be the next pastor of the church. This neighborhood is changing, and in order to reach the black people, they need to see somebody black, and I believe you're it. And my father prayed about it. When he got back from his vacation, he came and told us, we're moving to Washington. And I thought, D.C., and he said, no, Seattle. And then I saw the opening of Bonanza with the fire going on the map and stuff. And I was like, holy cow. So when we got to the church, there was only one black person in the whole church. Everybody else was white. And those white people loved me. They took me to their house. They invited us over their house. They let us play with their sisters, their daughters and their sons. You know, we ain't supposed to do none of that. They took us out on their boat, and we went skiing, water skiing. I never did that in my whole life. I saw it on TV, and here it was. I was doing it. I went hiking for the first time. I saw so many different things, and those white people loved me, even when I was unlovely. So I had to stop hating all white people because the love of God was shed abroad in their heart, and they shared it with me. Amen. And It took a few more experiences like that. I went to George Fox. I was the only black person in the whole campus, except for an African guy. And I was like, I can't wait to get out of here. But then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And I gave my whole life to God. I surrendered. And when that happened, I stopped hating white people instantly. Amen. Instantly. I couldn't hate them no more. They're just like me. You know what? We all have red blood. If you get run over by a truck don't care what color you are. It's going to hurt. Right? And Satan don't care what color you are either. He's trying to run you over like a truck. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the Bible says, and I had a scripture that I was going to read, but we're getting out of time. Essentially, it says that we're all equalized at the cross. When we get to the cross, we're all the same. Doesn't care what the world says. God sent Jesus for me and for you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and he came that you might have life. So when you receive him, when you get in his presence, you'll start loving people that you don't love. You'll start loving people that you don't like. You won't know why, but you will. The love of God ends racism. It ends hatred. It ends shame and guilt. Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do we get in his presence? Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And if you didn't understand that, what that says is, if you spend time in his presence, God knows everything about you, whether you come or not. He knows everything you think. He knows everything you are. He knows everything he created you to be. And his word will get to the issue. So remember when I said I had my devotions and I got up and then the Lord said, I just healed you from something that happened when you were three? Well, that's happened other times. Because in his presence, there's healing. The Holy Spirit, through his word, will bring healing to the broken places in your life. Now, I dare anyone to tell me they're not broken somewhere. I'm broke. Anybody else in here with me? Do we need Jesus? If you get in his presence, what's broke can be fixed. That's what I want to remind you of. Whatever's broke can be fixed. So a scripture that's real exciting to me. Jesus said this, Matthew 11:28, come to me. Come. Just come. All you who labor and are heavy laden. That means everybody who's working at trying to fix what's broke. And some of you can't, so you have the burdens of trying to fix what's broke. And you're carrying that all the time. God is saying, come to me, all of you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Since most of us don't know what a yoke is, if you ever watch a Western, you see two horses in front of the carriage, they have a yoke, which is a piece of wood and some leather stuff that brings two horses together so that they can ride together. And when one of them wants to go another way, that yoke keeps them from doing it. But they all carry the full weight. And what that means is that Jesus said when you take his yoke on you, you might not be able to carry the burden of what you're bearing, but he can. That's why someone wrote that little story about footprints in the sand. And there was two sets of footprints. And then later on, there was only one set. And that's when Jesus picked you up and carried you. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That's what he's saying. Just so you didn't know, he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do you get into his presence? You gotta come. You just have to come. Romans says, present yourself daily, which is your reasonable worship. Just come to God. Just show up. Sometimes just showing up every Sunday at church. Every Sunday, show up. Come. Come into his presence. Come at 10 o'clock when we start. Don't come at 11. Come at 10. Come at 10, at 5 minutes to 10. So you can say hi and go to the bathroom. But come. And when you do, God's going to change you. Amen? I was going to have us sing a song, but I'm not going to because of the time. I just would like for you to bow your heads. If the Holy Spirit spoke something to you today, at this last Sunday of the year, and I hope the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, that there's something that you need to do. Come. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his courts with praise. Declare this is the day that he's made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Right now, I just want you to come. Somebody, open your mouth and just tell God how much you love him. You know, if you can't, if you have difficulty doing that, you know, everybody's eyes are closed. You can put your hand over your mouth, but tell him, open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love for me. I thank you for the things I learned today. Whatever that is, come into his presence. Ask him to meet you right where you are. Ask him to help you. If he showed you something that you need to fix or it needs to be fixed, this is a great time to get it fixed. Say, Lord, I need you. Somebody wrote a hymn many years ago. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Don't pass me by. Come. Come and meet me right here. Some of you need joy. You act like you've been in pain all your life. And you need God to pour out his joy on you. Some of you need to be more grateful. You don't thank God enough for the things he's given you. You just take him for granted. Holy Spirit, come and hover over us this morning. Fill this place with your presence right now, God. Holy Spirit, have your way right now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.